big-time anniversaries in the last couple of weeks that I'm aware of. Kenneth, Kay Trantham, congrats on 50 years together. Henry, you might want to stand up. Henry and Eileen, 60 years together. Congratulations, Henry. Amen. Takes a lot for a man to put up with a woman. Now that's right. You got to be sanctified to get that long. I was out of town last week, and I'll be out of town this coming week. So I'll let you know that. I'm not going anywhere. It's just the way that it worked out. We have a family vacation. And if you'll notice, remember, I didn't take a vacation in the summer. So we're going to get it in the fall when the kids are out of school. But next week, we have a great speaker here, a guy that many of you know, not all of you know, but he used to pastor this church, a guy named Charlie Heater. Charlie's a great ball of fun and a great guy, and I think you'll enjoy having him. So come and bring your friends. Don't lay out. Because Charlie will know if you're laying out, and he'll tell me. And then we'll guilt you into some kind of nursery duty or something if you lay out. So don't lay out. All right. I want to read to you a passage. It's a very short passage, and if you're reading through the book of Judges, you might have missed it. But I think it's a pregnant verse that is worthy of our consideration today. It's in Judges chapter 3, verse 31. It says, after Ehud came, Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad, he too delivered Israel. There's not a lot said about Shamgar in the Bible. In fact, he gets two verses. This is one verse, and then there's another verse a couple chapters later that refers to his life. And yet, I think there's a lot to say about Shamgar in this single verse that we have read before us today. It says that he arose at a time when the Philistines dominated the land, and that with an ox goad, it's an 8-foot pointy stick that you can poke a cow with or an ox to make it pull faster. It'll also work on a kid too, but on an ox, make him move faster. And it says with an ox goad, he killed 600 Philistines and delivered Israel from the oppression of the Philistines in his day. Now, I don't know if you've ever felt outnumbered, but here is a man again who kills 600 people. He's outnumbered 600-1, and yet he is able to deliver his people. He's able to win a victory with the help of God. And simply because of that, I think he has something to say to you and I today. If you feel overwhelmed, if you feel defeated, if you feel outnumbered, I want to present to you some very simple, and I emphasize simple, principles from the life of Shamgar that may help you and I in our time of being overwhelmed. The first principle that comes to us from Shamgar is this, that wherever we are, we ought to have a holy anger about the situation that we're in if we're being oppressed. It's interesting here that in this nation, that Shamgar seems to be the only one whose blood is really boiling about what's going on. The Bible says that they are being dominated by the Philistines. And the Philistines, if a man grew a good crop, they would come in and take most of his crop. If he had a nice flock of sheep, they would come in and rob most of his sheep. The Bible says in two chapters later that during the time of Shamgar, the roads had grown up, that their travel became very hard. And I think the reason the roads grew up was because people didn't want to travel anymore. The Philistines would roam around in bands, and people didn't want to get out because they'd get robbed. They were oppressed, so they just hid at home during this time. The Bible says that during this time, the Philistines forbade any blacksmiths to be operating in Israel. So you could not make a weapon. All they had were sticks and stones. You couldn't make anything like a sword or a spear that could do very much damage. They had completely been disarmed. And I think Shamgar looks around, and more than anyone else of his day, his blood begins to boil. He gets angry. His fists get clenched at the shape that the nation is in, at the shape that he is in, because here he is. He's walking around like a weakling. He's been demasculated or emasculated, whichever one's in the dictionary. And here he is, and he feels bad about the situation, and he says, I'm not going to live like this anymore. I'm beat down. I'm pushed down. I can't even feel safe to walk to town. I'm not going to live like this anymore. And there are some things that you and I ought not be content to live with. I know that we need to accept the things that we cannot change, but there are some things that we can change if something will rise up inside of us, and we need to be people who say, I'm not going to be satisfied living in a way when the Bible says I can be delivered in this situation. If God will deliver me, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to get angry. The Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. Jesus said in John chapter 8, that who the Son sets free is free indeed. And if the Son is willing to set us free, if He's willing to deliver us, then we ought not be content to be in bondage. Jesus Christ said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, and to set the captives free. And if you're a captive today, if you're brokenhearted, you ought not feel content to be in the place that you're in, because God has ordained something greater for you and I. We ought not be content to be beaten down, to be under the foot of Satan, when God is willing to rise up and help us. We're not going to do it in our own power, but we ought to be willing to say, Lord, I'm angry. I'm furious at the situation that I'm in. I'm tired of being beat down. I'm tired of being pushed down. And if you'll help me, I'm going to rise up and do something about it. Listen, if you're a man, you ought not be walking around saying, that's just the way I am and I can't do anything about it. I'm just not a one man or a one woman man or a one man, whatever side you swing on. I'm just not a one woman man. You ought to rise up and you ought to say, I got some situations here in my heart, but I'm not content to live under the domination of lust in my life. I was talking to a guy this week, and he's a pastor, and he said when he first got into the church, he didn't know a lot about the church, and he said, I just saw it as a place to date, and so I dated, and before long, I dated several girls, and there was just disruption in the youth group, because the girls were arguing, and they were fighting. He said, I just created a disaster by dating several girls in the church. I'd go from one to another, flirt with this one and that one. And he said, I was walking out the door, and the pastor was there, and he put his hand on my shoulder and said, hold up, young man. He had heard what this guy was doing, dating all the girls in the church. And he called for the associate pastor to come over, and he said, come over here, my brother. We're going to cast the spirit of Mormonism out of this boy. You ought not be content with the spirit of Mormonism in your life. If you're a woman, you ought not be content to say, listen, my mother had worry and anxiety, and my grandmother seemed to be controlled by worry and anxiety, and so I guess I'm just going to be controlled by worry and anxiety. You ought not feel that way. You ought not accept that when the Bible says that we can put all of our cares on Jesus Christ. We ought not just bow down to depression and despair and anger and anxiety and say, there's nothing I can do about it, when the Bible says that who the Son sets free is free indeed. And here is this Shamgar. And there's an anger that rises up inside of him. And then there's another principle. You ought to get angry about the thing that God says He'll deliver you from. But second of all, and then you need to start where you are and use what you have. Start where you are. Again, here's Shamgar, and it doesn't say that he is a powerful man. Usually in the Bible, if a guy was a spiritual specimen, the Bible would say that. So it describes how strong Samson was. And so it also says that King Saul stood head and shoulders above any other man in Israel during his day. The Bible talks about David's mighty men. But we don't have that said about Shamgar. From what we know, he was not Chuck Norris. He was not Bruce Lee. He was not Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was not even Sylvester Stallone. He might not have even been Nathan Leisure, for all we know. But it says that regardless of what he had, he said, I'm going to start where I am. I'm going to get started. I don't know what I can do, but I'm going to start now. I'm not going to sit around and whine about the situation anymore. Listen to me. If you'll start, if you'll just start, you're going to do two things. You're going to get Satan off your back, and you're going to get God on your side. If you'll start. Listen, when you walk around saying, you know what, when I get older, then I'm going to do this. Or, you know, when I get more money, then I'll start giving more. Or when you say, I don't know, but maybe at some point I'll give up the party lifestyle, but I'm having too much fun now. When you start saying stuff like that, listen, Satan hears that stuff, and he'll make sure you never get to the point where you said you were going to start. You know, our presidents almost unanimously, when we're in a place of potential conflict as a nation, and they're asked, what are the conditions in which you'll send troops into that nation? Almost unanimously, they'll say, I'm not going to tell you that, because I'd be telling them what to look out for when trouble starts. Just understand that they've broken the treaty, and if they don't come back and live by the treaty, some morning they're going to wake up and not like what they see coming out of the air. But they know that you don't tell your enemy the conditions in which you'll attack. And you don't want to tell Satan, you don't want to walk around saying, well, if this happens or if that happens, then I'll start serving the Lord, or then I'll take on this ministry, or then I'll quit this addiction. No, he'll make sure you never get to that place. So don't walk around if you're a guy saying, you know what, if I can just find a Christian girl, I'll stop drinking. Stop drinking, and then maybe you'll find a Christian girl. But if you say that, you ain't never going to stop drinking. If you're a woman, don't sit around and say, you know what? If I could just find a good guy, maybe I'd quit bar hopping on the weekend. Why don't you stop bar hopping, and then you might find a good guy. But if you put the condition out, Satan will make sure the condition never gets met. So you get Satan off your back if you'll just start. And you'll get God on your side if you'll start. Jesus seemingly had little mercy on people who would not start small. Seemingly had little mercy or compassion for those who would not start. Guy came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 8. And he said, I want to follow you, but I need to go back and bury my dad. And Jesus said, listen, let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me. Jesus is almost looking at him and saying, if you're not going to start now, you're not going to start ever. So who are you fooling? Start now. And I think, this is what I think, and I don't have any Bible for this, but this is what I think, knowing Jesus. I think if he would have just turned and followed him, Jesus might have just healed his father. But he said, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to, and from all we can tell, he was sick, and he needed to care for him while he was sick. Jesus said, listen, let other people handle that. You come and follow me. And that might sound harsh of Jesus, but I think Jesus knew the guy's mind, and he knew that he was never going to get started if he didn't start today. There's a place where Jesus told a parable, and he's the great feast, and of course people can't come because one guy's bought land, and another guy's bought cows, and another guy's married a wife. And the point of the parable is that the man who throws the feast has little sympathy for those who make excuses why they can't come in that moment. Jesus, I believe, has little sympathy for us when we don't start, when we don't even start small. Because God, listen to me, God is a God of small beginnings. When God started to create the world, He started with a word. He spoke it into existence. When He wanted to create a nation, He started with one man, Abraham. When He wanted to bring an entire nation out of Egypt, He started with one man, Moses. And when He started to redeem the entire world, He started with a baby in a manger who died on a cross. Listen to me, the whole creation screams out that God is a God who starts small. And Zechariah 4:10 says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Do not despise the day of small beginnings, comes the word of God. Listen, look at the creation. Look how God has designed it. It's little seeds that produce great trees. Almost everything that we eat starts with a very, very little seed that multiplies 100 or 200 fold in size. Think about how small you were in the first month you spent in your mother's womb, and think about how big you are, and then start to cry. Think about how small you started out. It is God's design. It is God's way of working to start very small when He's out to grow something very, very large. And the fact He says, if you've just got the grain, the faith, not of a watermelon, but of a little mustard seed, I can work with that. But start small. Start praying even when you don't fully believe that it's possible. Start praying with your mustard seed and see what happens. See, if you'll start, you'll get God on your side. Until you start, I think God sits back and He halfway says, if it's not important enough for them to start, it's not important enough for me to help them. If they're not willing to start, they really don't want my help. So start. Get to it. Move. If God has put a dream in your heart, go for it. If God has called you to do anything, start. Even if you feel unable, even if you feel small, start. Listen to me, if you're away from God today, salvation starts small. It just starts small. And I think a lot of people sit in a church, and when there's an altar call going on, they say, my life is a complete and total wreck. It's tore up from the floor up. I don't see what a prayer at an altar will possibly do for my life. You'd be amazed what coming to an altar, if you're away from the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm sick of my life. I'm sick of my sin. If you'll help me, I'm going to turn from my sin. I repent. I wish it never happened. And based on the blood of Jesus Christ shed for me on Calvary, will you forgive me? He took my place. I want His sacrifice to be for me. You'd be amazed at how much a prayer like that will do in your life. It can change your life. That will become a seed in your life that grows into a life that is completely different from where you're at if you'll follow through. It's amazing how God starts small and He says, listen, start small. Despise not the day of small beginnings. And then the Bible says He not only started where He was, but He used what He had. And again, all He had was a stick that you could abuse your kid with or you could poke a cow with, depending on what kind of person you were. But He looked at the stick and He said, this is all I have, but Moses only had a stick too, and he used it, and the Lord anointed that stick, and He delivered the children of Israel out of captivity. If He can use Moses' stick to get them out of captivity, maybe He can use my stick to accomplish something as well. Listen to me. What have you got? Start where you are with what you have. You say, you know what? My family's a mess, and more than anything else in the world, I want to see my family saved and come to Christ someday. Someday, I want to be sitting around that Thanksgiving table and know that all of them will be with me in heaven. Start small. Start small. You say, I'm not a preacher. Can you cook? That sometimes does more than preaching does. Have them over for a dinner. You say, I can't teach. Can you listen? That helps. You say I'm not able to share the gospel. Can you do any repairs on their house? I'll tell you something. My dad kept our family together when we got older. Now, the boys didn't do this, but girls, when they grow up, they tend to fight. Sisters do. It's just the way they're wired, and there's a deficiency. Girls like to fight, and when they get older, it's just part of it. They can't do anything about it, although they shouldn't accept it. But anyway, but my dad, when my sisters would get in arguments, he would get his tool belt out, and he would call them, and he would say, "Honey, I'm coming over to work on your house today," because he would listen. Anything that was broken in their house, he'd make a note of it so he'd use it later. And he'd show up with his tool belt, and he would help them for 2 or 3 hours, and then they were obliged to cook him something. And as they sit there, he would say, "Now listen, I know you love your sister. I know you two care for each other. Why don't you two put this away?" And he would bring peace out of his tool belt. What have you got? What have you got? You say, I don't even know where to begin to share the gospel with my child or with this loved one that I care so much about. I don't even know how to explain or to answer all the questions I know they're going to have, because they're going to ask me why there's evil in the world, and they're going to ask me about creation, and they're going to ask me about all this kind of stuff, and I'm not going to have the answers. Listen, you don't need the answers. Just start small. You know what? If you'll talk to them about heaven, just look for opportunities to talk about heaven, you can begin to soften their heart. If you look at them one day, and if you find the opportunity, and you say to them, "You know, I love you so much, and I don't know where you stand with the Lord right now, but I just want you to know that I don't think I can be happy in heaven unless you are there. So if you're not ready to go to heaven, will you get ready to go to heaven for me? Because I want to enjoy it when I get there." You begin to soften them. If you just get up at that Thanksgiving dinner, and maybe you've prepared the meal, you can just say, "You know what? This meal isn't anything compared to what they have in heaven. But this is the best I can do. But I'm hoping someday that we'll all be together in a place like this in eternity. And if you're not ready to go, I hope you get ready, because I want to see you there." Listen, they can't take offense at that. They can't fight you over that. They might make fun of you over that, but what are they going to make fun of? It's the little things. It's the little seeds that you begin to sow. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. You don't have to be able to take the Bible and explain everything to them. You just have to start where you are. What's your ox goad? How can you get there? So here is Shamgar, and he's angry about the situation. He starts where he is. He uses what he has, and he begins to wage war on the Philistines. He just begins to go for it. Listen to me. Go for it. What God has called you to do, go for it. Listen, you say, "I've got an addiction." Listen to me. Don't try to think your way all the way to the end of the addiction. Can you get here on Tuesday night? Just start there. Have you got a car? That can be your ox goat. Have you just got a car? Can you just get to a place and be honest? If you can get to a place and come out of denial, that's step one. You're already 10% there. If you can just get out of denial, and you're already ahead of 80% of the people walking the streets. You have to start where you are. And listen to me, you have to do it in spite of your feelings. Sometimes, again, you don't feel like it's going to accomplish much. You don't feel like this is going to go anywhere. But listen to me, if you'll start small, you'll get the devil out of your way, and you'll get God on your side. Now, notice something else Shamgar did. That is, he didn't quit. He didn't quit. I don't think he killed 600 Philistines all at once. I think that probably what happened was they were out patrolling the land, and there'd be two or three at one time. The fields are grown up. The roads are grown up. And I think Shamgar might have just sat on his front porch. And when he'd see a couple go by, he thought, "I think I can take those two." And he'd go and he'd send them to heaven. or the other place. He'd take them out. If he saw one guy drunk, staggering to the bathroom, he said, there's another one that's going down. And he'd take him out. I don't think he stood up and took 600 out. I think he picked them off one, two, three at a time. So he kept going and he kept going until apparently the Philistines said, listen, people are disappearing left and right over there. Let's just go home. It's not safe to walk those streets anymore. Somebody's been picking us off. Listen, he didn't quit. He didn't quit. The fight you're in is not a battle, it's a war. Your addiction isn't a battle, it's a war. To get your family to heaven is not a one-time battle, it's a war. To live righteously is not a battle, it's a war. And if you think you're going to knock it out all in one shot, you're wrong. You have to stay consistent. You have to go. You can't quit. You've got to keep going. You've got to keep pushing. You've got to keep driving. You've got to stay on the firing line. Now, again, I told you this was a simple sermon, didn't I? But listen, God wants somebody to start. Have I been clear? Have I been clear? Get angry about the situation you're in. Start where you are. Use what you have and don't quit. Is that clear for you? Because it can change your life. I heard about a guy the other day, and he's having marriage problems. So he and his wife go to the marriage counselor. And it becomes really clear to the marriage counselor that major problem in the marriage is that he's not showing this woman any affection. He's very cold to her. And he keeps arguing, and finally the counselor gets up, and in a dramatic way, he wants to drive home that he needs to be affectionate with his wife. So he goes over, and he just leans over and gives this guy's wife the biggest, wettest kiss you've ever seen. And he looked at the man, and he said, now, did you see that? That's what this woman needs. Do you understand this is what she needs every day? Is that clear to you? And the guy said, that's clear as mud, Doc. I'll have her down here first thing in the morning. Wasn't clear. Wasn't clear. Listen to me. God wants to change somebody's life today. You can stand with me. Somebody's life can change today. And it will come because simply you're not happy with where you're at. You got righteous indignation about where you're at. And you say, I'm going to start. I'm going to quit waiting. I'm going to quit saying when this condition is met or when I see this happen. Listen to me. My family's a mess now. I'm away from God now. And I'm going to start small. You know, the Bible says, Jesus told a parable and he said that a guy went down to the temple and he was a tax collector. He was an evil man. And all he could do in the temple is stand and beat his chest and say, be merciful to me, O God, a sinner. Jesus said that man went down to his house righteous, right with God. And that prayer changed his life. Listen to me. God wants to do something in somebody's life today. Somebody here needs to get started. You've put it off long enough. It's time to get started. It's time to depend upon the Lord. And when you get started, don't you quit. But get started today. God has something for you. Listen to me. Don't settle for living in despair and depression and anxiety. Don't settle. God has something greater than that. There's a greater life. And despise not the day of small beginnings. Despise, hate not the day of small beginnings, because small beginnings lead to great victories in life. And I wonder today if you'll come and you'll start small. You'll say, God, I want you to help me. Satan, I'm making a point. I'm starting today. I want you off my back. And God, I want you on my side. I'm starting small. I'm starting with this prayer, but I'm starting today. And I'm looking for great things to come because I'm trusting in you. Will you come today?